Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell in this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Dear friends in Christ, during Lent, we have been preparing for the celebration of our Lord's Paschal Mystery. On this day, our Lord Jesus Christ entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph. The people welcomed him with palms and shouts of praise, but the path before him led to self-giving, suffering, and death. Today, we greet him as our King, although we know his crown is thorns and his throne a cross. We follow him this week from the glory of the palms to the glory of the resurrection, by way of the dark road of suffering and death. United with him in his suffering on the cross, may we share his resurrection and new life. Let us pray. Assist us mercifully with your help, Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy into the celebration of those mighty acts whereby you give us life and immortality. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a foal with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a foal, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the foal and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread out on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them. Crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be blessing the palms, so maybe just sort of hold them up so you have them in your mind. May God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the act of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Hebrews acclaimed Jesus as Messiah and King, with palm branches in their hands, crying, "Hosanna in the highest." May we also, carrying these emblems, go forth to meet Christ and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
good, his mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now proclaim, his mercy endures forever.
Open for me the gates of righteousness, I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord, he who is righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to you, for you answered me and have become my salvation.
The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna. Lord, send us now success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord. He has shined upon us from a procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in tender love for all our human race, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take our flesh and suffer death upon a cruel cross. May we follow the example of his great humility and share in the glory of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you. The second reading, a reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, from verse 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
May I speak of the Lord of love, crucified and to be raised and glorified. Amen. You do know that's not the end of the story. And since you know what the ending is, I trust, my question is, do we tell a story differently when we know what's going to happen? Does it change how we tell the story? And I have a couple modern examples before turning to Matthew's telling. There's a novel from the 19th century by Anthony Trollope, Barchester Towers. And it is a bit of a spoof on Anglican congregations and their clergy, where there's a lot of satire and humor. And the author tells the readers in advance, in the midst of all the intrigue, don't worry, this story is going to have a happy ending. More recently, Stephen King, the horror author, has written a 7-book series, which was his take on The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. And since I'm a fan of J.R.R. Tolkien, I have read The Dark Tower, his take on The Lord of the Rings. And it has a few superficial details, but you know, he's a horror author, so it's a different kind of story. And Stephen King repeatedly gives reveals, especially of tragic things that are about to happen. So there's one particular one about a conversation between two characters that he has spent a great deal of time developing so that you know them. And he says, before they could talk about this, death had separated them. And so you're waiting in dread, wondering which of your characters that you now know very well is going to be knocked off in this story. In a way, I think Stephen King's plan is that the final paragraph of the 7 volumes is the big reveal. So you've been distracted by all these little advance reveals. And so Stephen King is an omniscient narrator. He creates suspense by foreshadowing. And Anthony Trollope, with his Barchester Towers, is an intrusive narrator. He intrudes to address the readers directly and tell them what's going to happen. And Anthony Trollope says that the reason he does this is that character development is more important than cheap plot twists. In both of these examples, people read on anyway, one for character development, the other for suspense. And this brings me to Matthew's gospel. Matthew knows what the ending is going to be. It would be difficult to get back to the feeling of those early disciples who didn't know how it was going to end. And so Matthew has written with the end in mind. We know that following the death, Jesus is raised from the dead. And yet every year we come back and read it again. It's for the unending layers of new angles, connections to old stories, connections to things that were happening at the time of the crucifixion, and questions about the outcome. Did he succeed? And if yes, how did he do it? Or if he did not succeed, was it worth it? These questions are so important to us that we have Holy Week in which we tell the whole thing twice. So this is the entry into Holy Week. We have the crucifixion, the palms and the crucifixion today, and we'll have it again on Good Friday. On Good Friday, we hear from John's Gospel, and today we hear from the assigned Gospel of this year, which is Matthew's Gospel. We've already been prepared by reading it aloud. And for the resurrection, we will do the same. We will hear from the assigned Gospel, Matthew, on Saturday night, Easter Eve. And then on Sunday, Easter Sunday, John's Gospel will give us the resurrection. And they're different from each other. There's a difference between the two tellings that helps us to think about how many ways could you tell this story. So just a little comparison to prepare you for the week as it unfolds. John's telling of the crucifixion focuses on the symbolic. And Matthew, as you just heard, emphasizes drama, earthquakes, torn curtains, dead people rising and walking into the town. In John's Gospel of the crucifixion, Jesus is calm and in control. He carries his own cross. His last words on the cross are, "It is finished," or the Greek, "It is accomplished." And in Matthew, everywhere we turn, we hear another prophecy fulfilled, and Jesus truly suffers. His final words are ones of anguish. My God, why have you forsaken me?" You could go through and compare side by side these two tellings, and you would have more references to how they differ from each other. Because there's more than one way both to tell how that unfolds and to tell how it ends, also more than one way to tell what it means to you this year as you are now, as opposed to last year, how you were before. Both of these stories are told by authors who know the ending in advance, who cannot get back to the sense of surprise that, you know, maybe if you had never heard about Jesus and you went to a movie, Hollywood would give you that, you know, the surprise at the end. We can't seem to get that. What we have are oral stories where they knew the ending, written down by people who knew the ending, and what we take away. Through much of history, what people take away has been about how Jesus died for our sins. It's a layer of the New Testament, it's in Paul, an emphasis on why we needed this personally to happen for us. Now, that's not where Matthew has just taken us. Matthew has taken us through a teacher who challenges a corrupt empire and the people who have been harmed by it. The people who are invisible, the people who are broken by it. So if in your lifetime you've mostly heard about Jesus dying for your sins and you thinking about those sins, we, in terms of our current events, are in a different emphasis, in a different time. Where the news is all about the cruelty of empire. And the Jesus we hear in Matthew is the one who put his body on the line to oppose the cruel dictators of the time. If you've been watching the news this week, it is filled with no kings demonstrations all across the United States and spilled over into Canadian cities, into Europe, in London. Thousands of people, each with their hand-created posters, addressing the cruelty of empire. So I was looking at some of these posters. You know, they're really fascinating. When people make posters, the creativity they have. So the one that really got me was Jesus all surrounded by palms, you know, very fitting for today. And the words, "Behold, a real king." This version of Jesus for Palm Sunday, with the ending known in advance, is about Jesus putting his life on the line for broken people and God raising him up. And what we observe, if we're following the news, is people putting their lives on the line for the sake of broken people. You can tell the story both ways. In fact, all the layers are there for you to do it, to say Jesus died for your sins, for you, to redeem you. It's there, it's in the text, it's in the story. And that story has a happy ending with Jesus raised up. But Matthew's reading is for the broken people. And Palm Sunday, you know, starts happy, you've got your palm, we're singing beautiful songs. It's really like a Trojan horse for the harsh story that it slides into without you being quite ready for it, to ask you, how much do you care for those who are hurting? How much does Jesus care for them? And in this week that unfolds, Jesus is raised up for the kind of care he gives. And that is our calling to be raised up. Amen.
us pray. God, creator of all, we join together in prayer with gratitude for your love. May we be enriched by the rituals we have inherited and the stories we have inherited that anchor and renew us today in response to loving God. Our answer will be, hear our prayer. We pray for peace and justice in the world and for care of the earth, remembering how everything is connected, including ourselves and our intentions. Help us to be clear and aware and open to inner peace. Loving God, we pray for our country, Canada. Inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to make compassionate decisions with cooperation at all levels. Support us as we seek to be effective, loving citizens. Loving God. We pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history, so that we can learn together and journey together. We pray for the church worldwide and nationally, and are grateful and thankful and ask your blessings for those who minister at St. John's, including Gary, Alan, Pat, Christina, Kimberly, Nicholas, Carrie, Awit, Barb, and Monica, and all volunteers. There are so many of us. Loving God, we pray for children and young people and their families. Loving God, we pray for the sick, especially Ken, Sandy, and Alice. And we pray for the loved ones of those who are ill and their caregivers. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by all of us and those close to our hearts. We pray for the departed and all those who mourn them. Loving God, loving God, draw us into the mystery and wonder of you and your love. Help us to know that you need us as we need you. Give us courage to keep on, to all of us who need a fresh start, and all of us who long for more courage. Give us a place to rest in your love. Renew us that we may find our life in you and with you, and especially with each other. Amen. Amen.